This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Gior. Today I'm speaking with Julia Thompson. Julia, how are you?
Great, thank you. How are you?
Great. Julia, how are you involved with digital asset management?
I'm the digital asset manager at UNICEF New York headquarters. Part of that role, I'm the administrator of our global digital asset management system. This includes things like configuring the ACLs, developing and maintaining metadata, working with the DAM vendor on issues, any changes we'd like to make, and features that would be useful to us. My role also includes the development of DAM workflows, advising on best practices, and user support and training.
How does an organization focused on long-term humanitarian and developmental assistance to children and mothers in developing countries use digital asset management?
The DAM system that I manage contains just finished materials at this stage rather than works in progress, although I see that being something that we may be using the DAM system for in the future. At the moment, it includes photos, videos, branding materials, publications, and social media assets, things such as infographics, and also other related peripheral materials, mostly communication materials that are ultimately destined for an external audience. So we work in more than 190 countries and territories, and we have content creators and offices all over the world. For us, having a global DAM system helps us to break down content silos across the organization. It provides us a way to make rich media created all around the organization available to UNICEF staff everywhere. Staff use the DAM system to locate materials for repurposing and reuse when they're creating new communication assets. So we offer B-roll for creating new videos, photos that they use in new publications. And we also use the DAM system to distribute editable versions of assets for localization. So that means an office can create versions of assets in their local languages. We use the DAM system as a tool for sharing downloadable assets with news media and with our many partners and stakeholders. It also provides a source for high-quality assets for publication on websites and social media and other internal platforms. And it's integrated with UNICEF.org for the publication of photos via the DAM system API. I'd say that one of the most important roles of digital asset management for us is in helping to protect the rights of the children in our photos and videos, helping us to ensure that assets are used appropriately. So we have some assets, images of children at risk, such as children associated with armed groups, which require special approval and particular care in their use. And the DAM system helps us to handle usage approvals. We're able to use the system to embed the usage terms and conditions in some asset types like images to make users aware of the usage terms and conditions upon accessing assets in the DAM system. We use the DAM system to pull together packages of assets that relate to a particular focus area or campaign, which makes it quicker and easier for staff to find the communication materials that they need. And the DAM system also provides a definitive source for our branding materials so that we can keep the UNICEF brand clear.
What are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with digital asset management?
So in some ways, our successes and challenges are fairly closely linked. Because the DAM system has become quite central in supporting our communication goals, our users are starting to see the benefits of the DAM system in their work, which is a good thing. It's exactly what we're aiming for. One of the consequences that we found of having a system that people like and see the value in is that we're finding ourselves needing to assess and accommodate new needs that are arising. We've seen the emergence of new use cases, new demands on the system, which have created new challenges to address, new workflows to develop, additional metadata to add, changes in the way that we handle permissions. So these new needs have been a challenge to address, taking extra resourcing, requiring changes in the way that we're working with the system. But it's also nice to see the value of digital asset management in such a large organization. Another challenge that we've faced is balancing our shorter and longer term needs. We need our digital asset management to support an often high-paced flow of assets within the organization and to outside partners and news media. But we also need to ensure that we have full and accurate metadata needed for the long-term accessibility of those assets. In an emergency situation, such as after the recent Nepal earthquake, the DAM system was used to make photos and videos available to the organization and to news media, which needed to happen quickly. So in a situation like that, there's not always time to spend fully cataloging an asset before publication and distribution. However, we do need full metadata to ensure that someone can find those assets in a few years and that they have enough contextual information to know what they're looking at. So I definitely wouldn't claim to have all the answers to that dilemma yet. It's really something we're still working through. But I think in the future, it's going to have to involve a staged approach to asset management. We have a workflow and a system that's light and user-friendly enough to meet those short-term needs, combined with oversight by information professionals, maybe filling in the metadata, making sure that everything looks right at a slightly later stage. And also, I think accepting that good enough is sometimes the best that you can do. There's really no question that digital asset management in a large organization like that operating in different time zones is a challenge.
I bet. What advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
One of the things I would recommend is future-proofing as much as possible, being aware of the importance of flexibility and scalability when procuring and configuring a DAM system, because you will inevitably be making changes, particularly when working in a large organization. We've found it really important to have a system that allows us to be really flexible, making changes to metadata, accommodating new asset types, new asset genres, and supporting new asset cases. Related to that, I'd say that it's important to keep talking to your users well beyond the initial planning and implementation stage so that your system and workflows can evolve along with the new user needs that will emerge. We've definitely had a lot of changes with the way that we're using digital asset management within the organization, even over a fairly short period of time. For people aspiring to become DAM professionals, I would say that it's getting hands-on experience, and so getting some exposure to digital asset management in a real organization is super important. I would think that although getting a good handle on digital asset management theory and best practices is key, it's also really important to be able to navigate the unique culture of an organization, to be able to successfully identify business requirements and user needs. At least from my point of view, that seems to be where the biggest challenges lie, but also the biggest opportunities for success in digital asset management.
Great. Well, thanks, Julia.
Thank you.
For more on this and other digital asset management topics, go to anotherdamblog.com. For this podcast and 160 other podcast episodes, go to anotherdampodcast.com. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. Thanks again.